Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hey, my name is Ben Kendrew. I am the campus pastor here at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights. We are one church with four locations. I'd like to welcome any visitors that we have with us this morning. It is a joy to be with you in worship on this Easter and Resurrection Sunday. So I just pray that you're blessed, and I want to just encourage you right now. Would you just pray with me as we go into God's Word? Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much, that you saw that there was a problem with sin in the world, that it separated us from a relationship with you, that you loved us, that you sent your Son, Jesus. And so, Father, I just pray in this moment we would center, that you would speak to us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall fresh upon us as is already here. Father, use me and speak in and through me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In Luke chapter 24, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It'll be on the screen behind me. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, this is the story of Easter. This is the resurrection encounter, and this is what it says starting in verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In verse 5, in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee?" In verse 7, "The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day raised again." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. And so this is the story of Easter. This is the resurrection encounter that these women had. It's the first day of the week. I'm going to unpack this a little bit for us. This is the first day of the week. This is Sunday. And so that's why they're there. They cannot deny this historical account, this reality of this resurrection. That the women took the spices. It was custom in the time of Jesus when there was a dead body. They would go and prepare the body and take care of the body. And so women took these spices. They were first to see the empty tomb. They were the first to know about that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And so they knew Jesus, and it was Mary and maybe the mother of Jesus. And can you imagine that scene? That all they endured on that week leading up from Palm Sunday, they were saying, "Hosanna in the highest," and putting palm branches and waving them, laying them on the ground, to the people saying, "Crucify him" on Friday, and sending him to the cross. Where is God? Is God real? Could you imagine the questions that they might have had in their hearts and their minds? Could you imagine those questions maybe that you and I would have had? Is God real? Is God really going to do what he said he's going to do? Who is this God? And so the women went, and they saw that, and they encountered these men, these angels at the tomb, right? There's a lot of people that in this time, you have to think about this, a lot of people in this time are wondering, where is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And it's much like that today, I would say, as a pastor. As someone is saying, who is Jesus and what is he like? Because a lot of times the church doesn't look a lot like what they're professing, does it? And so it's important that we understand this, that we understand the nature of who God is. And I want to encourage you that if you're struggling to try to find out and understand what Jesus is like, I want you to know this about God's character this morning. God sees you. God knows you, and God cares. That's who he is like. That's what he's for. He's for us, that he loves us so much, that he sees us, he knows us, and he cares. So God sees you this morning. And so maybe you're sitting here for the first time. You've heard all of the stuff about Jesus. You've watched the documentaries and the movies. You know about him. But I want to ask you this morning, do you know Jesus? Do you know that he loves you, that he rose from the dead, that he loves you so much? Listen, they were fully expecting when these women went to the grave, they were fully expecting to see the body in the tomb. Could you imagine to their surprise what they encountered? The stone was rolled away. Where is Jesus? Where is he? And so there was zero faith that Jesus would actually do what he said he was going to do. People were scared. They were frightened by the Romans. They were terrified by what they saw. But then here comes these women. They see this scene. The stone had been rolled away. The tomb is empty, and they're greeted. Oh, my goodness. What an experience that must have been. And so here's the thing. The reality is with us, with our faith, with our everyday experiences, that sometimes our circumstances, what we're going through in life, they trick us out of really understanding and seeing God's faithfulness in what we're going through. But the reality is when you have faith in Christ, you're going to be able to see all these blessings that come, that God is who he says he is. Easter reminds us, listen, Easter's more than about bunnies and chocolate and family time. Easter reminds us that God opens the doors that no man can open, that God makes a way that there seems impossible for us to be a way. God makes a way for us to have a relationship with us. Do you know him this morning? Do you know God, that he loves you? The tension is this, the tension that we wrestle with as believers, as people that are trying to figure out who this Jesus is, maybe you're not a believer here this morning, is that there are doors that are closed. There are ways that seem shut. There are times in life when it seems tough and we say that question, God, where are you? But he's not in the tomb. He's there. He's for you. He is with you. He cares. He knows you and he sees you. Listen, when they went to the tomb, they said they could not find the body. They've got to think, bodies just don't move on their own. What happened? What happened to this body? And so as they encounter this, that we see that, like, there's this man who was on a cross one day on a Friday. He was taken down. He was put in a tomb. And then all of a sudden, there's no body there. And so we see that the resurrection, even the worst, the most irreversible, unavoidable situation known to man, is death. And that is not even a match for God's power, is it, right? There are things that we all fear. We all fear death. And outside of Jesus, there is only fear. And so Jesus gives us a way to have a relationship with God this morning. That's why we come and celebrate who Jesus is. When we come to understand that Jesus loves us, we understand that the tomb is empty. We understand that he came to love us, that we spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out what it means to follow Jesus, that we're saying the tomb is empty. He loves me. He is who he says he is, that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. And I don't know what you came in here with this morning, but here's the thing. God is making a way, and he's opening doors for you. And it's all because of what his son did on the cross. It's because of the blood that was shed that makes it possible for you to have a relationship. There were these statements that were made at the tomb. I love these statements that we see in that verse in Luke chapter 24. They say, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? And you can imagine, like, well, this is where he was buried. That's why I'm looking here, right? But the angels are reminding them what Jesus said, who Jesus is, and what he was going to do. He's reminding them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Some of us here this morning have been walking with Jesus for a long time, and we need to be reminded this morning of who he is and his power and what he's like. Here's the second statement was, he is not here. He is risen, right? He is risen. And so that's the hope. That's the hope that we have, that all the other gods that people worship, Jesus is the one that was risen. I've been to Jerusalem. I've been to this tomb, the garden tomb, and it's an amazing experience. But I'm telling you, there's no body there, right? And so we see this. They're seeing this exact same thing as the women said, and they saw that, where's Jesus? And the angels, these guys say, he is not here. He is risen. He is risen. The third one, remember how he told you. Remember how he told you. And some of us have grown up in the church. I grew up in the church, and I've been reminded of who God is and what the teachings of Christ are. Maybe some of us have fallen away from a relationship with Jesus. But remember what he told you. Remember how much he loves you. Remember that you're not alone this morning. Remember that God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to die on the cross, to deal with sin, to make a way, to have a relationship with you, to give you life in the here and now and in for eternity. Listen, we can't forget what Jesus did. It's important for us that Jesus is alive. He is not dead, right? Jesus overcame the grave and arose from the dead. He rose, right? And Jesus wants to remember what he said. Remember what Jesus said. Remember what he said. We go through the scriptures. We look at all the things that he said throughout the scriptures. Remember what he was promising. And so we have this experience with Easter. We have this experience with Easter. The most powerful, life-changing, destiny-altering, joy-producing reality is in the world is not a drug. It is not a possession that you have. It's not the amount of money you make. It's not the promotion that you're seeking. It's not a feeling like chasing happiness. Happiness is a good thing in and of itself, but it is not the end goal. A degree, education. Those are all good things, but it is not what we're doing, we're chasing. The most powerful reality is that Jesus Christ conquered sin in death by dying on the cross and overcame the grave and proved that he is God. And he is resurrected from the dead. And just like that, he said, I am here for you. I love you. Who does that? Who can do that? Only the Son of God, only the King of Kings, only the Lamb of God is able to do that. He's the only one that is doing it. He's the one that keeps his promises. I don't know if you've ever had someone promise you, but Jesus is one who keeps his promises. He's the ultimate promise keeper. He appeared to over, here's, listen to this. It's not on a slide. I want to read this to you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. This is Paul speaking, and he's writing and testifying about witnesses who experienced Jesus' resurrection. Here's what he said. For I handed on to you as the first importance what I had turned and had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. You're going to hear with Scripture here. Verse 4, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day, accordance to the Scriptures, and that he appears to Cephas or Peter in the 12. He appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time. This is post-resurrection. Most of them who are still alive, and some have died, that he appeared to James and to all the apostles. Last of all, ultimately born, he appeared to me, Paul. And so we have this account that Jesus said that he would be risen from the dead. He said, if you destroy this temple, I'll raise it again on the third day. Paul's reminding people that Jesus said what he was going to do. He's reminding them of what he was teaching them. It's a reminder for us this morning, this Easter, that who Jesus is, that he makes a way from us, that from death to life, that he sent his blood for us. So people, this is a historical account. The people encountered this risen Jesus. It wasn't a made-up story, a fairy tale, a myth. It was a reality that really happened. This really happened. So here's the thing. Here's where we're going this morning. The resurrection of Jesus, the resurrection truth creates these questions in us. What does this mean for me? What does this mean for me? What am I supposed to do with this as a believer, as a person living in 2025? How does this truth affect my everyday life? Okay, what am I supposed to do with all this? We're going to look at that. And why should I ascribe to, adhere to it, to make it a governing principle of my life? Why should I even follow this? What's the deal about this? And so these are the questions that people that get around Jesus start asking these questions of who he is. But once you get around them, you're going to see why. You're going to understand what it means. The resurrection of Jesus. Here's our big idea this morning. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead does these things. It cleanses my heart. It clears my name, and it claims my victory. So we're going to look at that. Colossians 2, 13 through 15 says this. And you were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. And he canceled the record of the charges against us. And he took it away by nailing it to the cross. And in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and the authorities. And he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. And so we have this Jesus who goes to the cross, that he cleanses our hearts. He cleanses my heart. He cleanses your heart by doing what? By forgiving us of sins. That sin in the modern culture, it's not a fun term. It's not an attractive term, but the reality is that each one of us, because of Genesis chapter 3, have been impacted by sin. The fall of man, the fall of humanity, this original sin that takes place, that we feel in our bodies, that we see in our culture, that we see in the news, that we feel in our heads and our hearts, that we see this sin. And Jesus comes to us, and he makes a way, and he wants to cleanse our heart. When I was a youth pastor back in the day, I would go on a retreat, and there was this mud pit, and we'd go play mud football and all these mud games, and they would use power washers to try to scrub you down. It would hurt. It hurt. It left marks. But there was always mud. There was always mud in my ears and my hair and my eyes. It was gross, right? Jesus does this. He wipes away and cleanses us from all the sin that's in our lives. It leaves us dirty. Do you ever feel dirty because of your sin? That you just can't get it off no matter how much you try to wash it away or try to hide it? So Jesus does it once and for all for us. That he went to the cross and he says, I'm going to forgive you of all your sins. That you're saying, well, I don't feel like I'm a sinner. I'm a nice person. It's more than just being nice. It's an attitude and a condition of our heart that Jesus frees us from. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says this. It says this. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, or making a way to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. The Bible says that sin separates us from God. God's standard is holiness. And so sin cannot be in the presence of God. And so there needs to be something that's dealing with this sin. And that's where Jesus comes in. He deals with the sin in our hearts. Psalm 103 says this: because of what he did on the cross, because he conquered the grave, because he is risen, he does this: as far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our sins from us. The sin that you and I have that we feel because of the cross, because of the grave, he says it's as far as the east is from the west. Forever he's dealt with it. That we don't have to continue to deal with that. We have to confess and wrestle with those things. But as we follow Jesus, we are saved because of the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Jeremiah 31:35 in that second half says that because of that, he remembers our sin no more. He remembers our sin no more. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that all the sin that I've dealt with in the past, what I did this morning, what I'm going to do tomorrow, he remembers no more. It's not a hall pass to continue on, but it's a way for us to, in adoration, thank him and love him because he has dealt with that sin and he remembers it no more. God is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everything about that. And so how dare we choose to remember what the one who knows everything chooses to forget? How dare we do that, right? We should be thanking Jesus in worship and adoration. And you guys sound beautiful this morning during worship. But that's what we're doing. We're thanking and praising God because he dealt with our sin condition. He deals with that sin condition. I'm going to briefly share how he dealt with my sin condition. When I was a young man, I know many of the people that attend church here on a regular basis. When I was a young man, I kind of grew up in a broken family. And there was a time where I understood that was right and wrong and good and evil and what was drunkenness and what was not drunkenness. And I said, I don't want to live like that. And so there was a time when Jesus dealt with my heart. It was a summer camp that I heard this message and there was an opportunity for me to follow Jesus, that I could deal with that. He could cleanse me of the sin and the things that were in my life. And that's when I said, I want my heart to be cleansed from that. And so on August 9th, I have a day and a time and a location. I remember what that was like. Maybe some of you don't remember. Maybe some of you are sitting here and I don't have that. But there was a time when Jesus cleansed me and it reminded me who I really am. I'm not my sin, but I'm a child of God. And so I was remembered. I got this fresh start on who Jesus was. And I got a fresh start in my life. I was in high school. Did I mess up? Sure, right? But as I grew and I went further in my life, I had a fresh start and I was reminded who I was. I was a son and God saw me that way, not who I was in the past. I got this fresh start. What I love about that is because of Jesus, we can live free. Because of Jesus, what he did on the cross and how he raised from the dead, we can have a fresh start. Don't you want a fresh start in your life this morning? Over the next 4 weeks, I want to invite you back. I want to invite you back here to Bridge City Church. We're going to do a sermon series called Fresh Start, and we're just going to look at what it means to have a fresh start, a hard reset in our lives. If you don't have a place to call church or you're just curious, I invite you back. Commit for the next 4 weeks and explore with us what that looks like to have a fresh start in Jesus and what he can do in our lives. Amen? And so we need to do that. We need to spend the rest of our lives, as we think about what it means to be cleansed, who is God to me? What is God like? Who am I to God? There's a quote by A.W. Tozer that I love. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about me. And when we think about God, how we view him, he's a God who loves us so much that he desires that relationship with us. That he get this character who God is. Christmas is God with us as he sends his son as the form of a baby. Easter is God for us. And he rose from the dead. He is for us. He's for you this morning. Do you need your heart cleansed this morning? God wants to do that in your life. The second thing that we have because of Easter, because of the resurrection power, that he clears our name. He clears your name. There's this illustration of in my own life where the name Kendrew, if I can, there's associated with that drunkenness and bars and all kinds of stuff. So as a kid, I was embarrassed of my last name. I was embarrassed of my last name. And then once I became a Christian, once on August 9, 1990, once I became a Christian, I decided that as I looked there, what am I going to do to follow Christ? That he clears my name. That it wasn't about the effort that I did. It wasn't about me trying or doing all this stuff. But it was because of what Jesus, because of the blood, he cleared my name. And so what he showed to me that I can start with my family, have a new name. Kendrew can be redeemed. Kendrew can be fixed. That it can start with me moving forward. No longer will that name be associated with alcoholism and bars and fights and all the other stuff. That Jesus clears my name. That he sees me as his son. There's a way for us. Listen, I don't know if you look at your life like that, but Jesus clears your name. He clears you of the sin. He clears you of all those different things. When we have this kind of like guilty conscience, a lot of times we make bad decisions when we have a guilty conscience. A lot of the worst decisions we make kind of out of guilt and kind of a forced thing. But here's the thing, God, because of the resurrection, he changes and clears our name. He makes it new. Colossians 2:14 says this. He canceled the record of the charges against us. And he took it away by nailing it to the cross. And you think about that. You think about the record of charges against us. And we have just a long sheet and a family history and all these other things, fears and anxiety. We have these charges against us. And Jesus takes those and nails them to the cross. And he clears our name. It's like taking a dry erase board and we put all our sins on there. He just wipes it away. He just clears your name away, all the sins that you dealt with. That's who God is like. That is what Christ did. He clears your name and makes it new. I want to follow that kind of God. I want to follow that. I want to follow Jesus with all I have. See, this case dismissed. He expunges our record. I don't know if you have a record or driving record or you have a lot of speeding tickets, right? It says that God is taking those and expunging them and wiping those away. That's what sin does when we don't do that. When we don't surrender our lives, Jesus is here. He cancels that record of charges against us. Some of us are still living and holding on to those charges. And here's the thing, there's freedom now for you. There's freedom now because of what Jesus, because the grave, he rose from the grave. There's freedom from that, that your name is cleared. You don't have to live in bondage to those ways anymore, amen? You don't have to live that way. So he clears your name, he cancels that record. The third point is this, is that Jesus, he claims a victory. He claims a victory for us. When we're dealing with the sin in our lives, look at Colossians 2:15 says, he, Jesus, disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. And so because of Jesus' death on the cross, because he rose from the dead, he's shaming them. There's this battle for our souls. I don't know if you know that. There's a battle, eternal battle for our souls. That Jesus disarms this spiritual battle. He disarms them and shames them publicly because of what he did on the cross. That's an amazing thing to me. I love that. And this enemy who's against us is called the devil, or we can call him the accuser. But Jesus deals with that. He takes it to the cross and he nails it there, and he gives us victory once and for all. That we can claim victory now and not later. It's now we have this victory. He goes before God every day bringing these accusations to God. And Jesus says, nope, I've already dealt with that once and for all. Jesus disarmed them. He took away their weapons. He took away all these charges and canceling the records against us. Victory over what? Victory over what are you talking about, Pastor? Victory over what? Well, I don't know if you have this in your life. There's victory over shame. There's victory over pain. There's placing blame and blaming others. Maybe you've done that in your life. Carrying heavy loads of life. Life is hard. Jesus said, in this life you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Do you ever feel that? And it's heavy. It's exhausting, isn't it? But there's victory because of what Jesus did. Victory over what? Victory over the uncertainties in this life and in the next. You know, we're not going to be here forever. This time on earth will end soon. We're not promised tomorrow. So there's a victory even in eternity. How about victory over the things I have done where I went too far or said something that went too far? Or the things that have been done to me from others that went too far. There's victory over that today because of what Jesus did on the cross and through the grave. And so here's our challenge for us this morning. As we think about this victory that comes and this victory that's promised through Christ, it's as if we're living our lives. If you went to like your kid's school and there was a raffle, you bought a ticket, and in that ticket there was a large sum, a large prize, we'll say $5,000, and you have the ticket. Would you not cash that ticket in if you won? Would you just hold on to that ticket? Or let's say make it even, I'm not encouraging gambling, work with me, okay? If you won the lottery, if you won the lottery, would you take that ticket and go get your prize, or would you just hold on to it? You'd cash that in as soon as you can. Because of what Jesus is, he wants us to cash in that ticket of victory that he's promised to us. Victory over these things that we carry on our lives. Victory over the struggles and the fears that we have. That is the hope of Easter. That's the hope of the resurrection, that there's this victory now, that we don't have to just keep going through life, trudging and going through. There's a hope for us right now. Have you claimed your victory ticket? Have you claimed your victory ticket to follow Jesus? This morning, that's what we want you to kind of come away with, is that there's a victory that is promised in and through Christ. Victory means this, that there will be continued opposition, right? There will be continued opposition in our life. As Jesus said, there will be trouble in this world, but you can overcome because of the blood of the Lamb. You can overcome because of what he did and rose from the grave. You can overcome that. That's what happens with people. When they come in to understand who Jesus is and they begin to follow him, the first trouble, the first sign of strife and struggle, they fall away. And they say, this is too hard. But Jesus says, you don't have to keep trying. I am your strength and weakness. I am the one that goes before you. I am the one who promises my Holy Spirit to help empower you to move forward in this life. And so there's a victory, but we have to cash that in now. Cash in that ticket. Cash in that ticket that God wants to give you. You can have victory in this life. Do you need a reset in your life right now? Do you need a hard reset? I know talking to my son and other people in the church throughout life, they're just in seasons right now where we need hard resets. I've been there. I've been there as a pastor where I'm just like, Lord, what is going on? And I have to bring myself to the cross, and I have to bring myself and remember what Jesus did on Easter Sunday, that there's power and victory now, that I don't have to just keep going through this. Don't you want that this morning? Have you claimed your victory in Christ? I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to invite you to stand, and I'm going to read you a passage of scripture that Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. And in there, we're going to hear about this. We're going to hear about this promise that God gives to us, that he gives to us, that he's going to be with us. That I don't know if some of you are longtime followers. I know you are. And then there's some of you that are just kind of like plateaued. You're kind of stuck in the middle. You're like, I have a relationship, or I had a relationship, but I'm not sure where I am. And then there's the third group of us here this morning that you haven't claimed that victory, that you don't know who Jesus is. So today might be your day. Today is your day. I know that. I want you to just kind of bow your heads, close your eyes if it helps you concentrate. But listen to the words of Paul speaking about Jesus and Christ's love and what he did on the cross and how he rose from the dead. There's a victory available for you. So listen to these words. Make this your prayer. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give up everything else? Who dares accuse us of who God has chosen for us to his own? No one, for God himself has given us the right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and raised to life for us. And he was sitting at the right place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? And as the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. There's victory available for you this morning through Christ because he loved us. It's available. Listen, I'm going to go on. Almost done. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just listen. And I am convinced, and my hope and prayer is that you're convinced this morning, I am convinced that nothing can ever, ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that was revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a love letter to us. What a reminder of what Jesus did, the victory that he promises us, the cleansing the clearing of our name, that Jesus loves us. Will you claim your ticket today? Will you cash that in and say, Jesus, I need you. I need that victory in my life. Lord, I need you to cleanse my heart of the sin that I'm dealing with. It's too heavy for me to bear. I'm exhausted, Lord. Maybe you need to clear your name. That there's just around your name, your heart, your family, whatever that is, like you're gonna need God to just clear that, wipe it clean of those charges, that he makes a right relationship with you. And then finally, claim the victory. Too many of us are leaving defeated lives. There's a quote that says, the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation, but in Jesus, there's a victory. You don't have to lead that quiet desperation anymore. You can live a victory right now. And so I want to just ask you, if that's you this morning, you want to know Jesus, you want to claim that victory, you've never known Jesus, I ask you just boldly, put your hand up. I want to pray with you right now that he could be the forgiver of your past and the leader in your future. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you. Be bold. I see those hands right there. I see those hands. Let me pray with you now. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now for those that raise their hand, Lord, that they would understand that you love them with an everlasting love. Lord, that you cleanse them from the sin, that you clear their name and you give them victory because of your son on the cross. So Father, I just pray that you'd help them to walk in your ways, to believe with all their heart and commit each day to the next and following your ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Those of you raise your hands, people are gonna pray with you afterward. Maybe you're a Christian who's been walking with Jesus for a while and your faith has gone stale. And you need to recommit today. I want to ask you, if that's you this morning, I want you to come forward. Just walk down the aisles. And I want you to stand right here. Just recommit. Be bold. Come down. I need to claim this victory. Be bold to come out. Just walk down to the front. That's right. Come on. Claim the victory. God wants you to recommit your life. He wants you to be bold. Come forward. Be bold. Life is hard. And sometimes we need to refocus and we need to reset. And this morning we're praying here at Bridge City Church that this will be the moment for you. So I want to pray with you right now. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are recommitting their lives right now. I pray that you'd bless them, that you would strengthen them. Lord, I pray that they would not beat themselves up, but claim the victory and cash in that ticket because of what you did on the cross. They are set free, that you don't remember those sins as far as the east is from the west, that they could reset, and they could recommit their lives this morning. Father, I pray a blessing upon them right now. Lord, that they, from this day moving forward, one day at a time, they're going to take up their cross and follow you. They're going to admit their weaknesses, and you are their strength, that you're going to empower them with your Holy Spirit to move forward in strength. So, Father, I pray your blessing upon them right now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And so the rest of you who are continuing to walk, amen. The rest of you that are know Jesus and you're walking, I want to pray a blessing upon you. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are walking right now. Lord, that they continue to be obedient in the way they're walking. I just pray a strength upon them, a blessing upon them, that a fresh wind would fall upon them and your Holy Spirit. You guide them and correct them and show them the ways that they would walk in your ways and they would demonstrate your love to all they encounter. Lord, they would be signposts pointing to Jesus constantly in their lives. And so, Father, I pray that you bless us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Give God the glory this morning as they go throw you back in the seats.